That song beautifully summarizes what this service is all about. It talks about what Jesus has done for us and my own unworthiness. A beautiful summary beneath the cross of Jesus. And we want to think about this morning the meaning of what we're doing. We want to think about the meaning of communion. And what does communion mean to you? What does it mean to me? How would you define it if someone visited the church, your church, and you mentioned that next week you were having communion? How would you go about defining it, telling people what it is? Would you simply say, well, you know, it's something special that our church does twice a year? Or maybe you might say, well, it's eating a little piece of bread and drinking a little bit of grape juice. Or maybe you would say, well, it's something special that we do to remember that when Christ was with us, his body was broken, he suffered persecution, and his blood was shed, and it was for me. And I suppose all those things are some elements that we would think about when we think about communion. Now, it's interesting that the word communion in the New Testament is used of this observance that we're doing this morning. It's used only once to refer or have anything to do, it seems like, directly with the Lord's Supper. The word is used in 19 other places in the New Testament. Sometimes it's translated communion, as it will be in a scripture we're going to look at shortly. More often, it's translated communion, or not communion, but fellowship. Sometimes it's translated partake, and at least one or so times it's translated distribute, passing something from one person to another. So there's not one English word that quite says it all. The English word that is chosen to translate this sometimes, communion, is made up of two parts. The come at the beginning of the word in English means with or together. And union, of course, means joining together. And we use that word quite often. Some people join in union with another group of people. It means they have a lot in common. And so the word communion has to do with relationships. First of all, with God and Jesus Christ, and second of all, with other people. Now, I'd like for us to turn to that passage where, that one passage where the word communion actually refers to partaking of the bread and the cup. 1 Corinthians 10, 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians 10, 16 and 17. And we will be looking at some other passages that use that word, referring to other things. 1 Corinthians 10, 16 and 17. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. And notice it refers to the communion of the body of Christ and the communion of the blood of Christ. And remember that the word has to do with common union and or being together. And it also has to do with fellowship. And it all has to do with our relationship there with Jesus Christ. Now let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 11, the next chapter. Also refers to the service again. And apparently there were some problems in the early church in relationship to the service. Some people were abusing it, misusing it. Some people were bringing a lot of food and involved in gluttony while other people went hungry. And So this last part of 1 Corinthians 11 is referring to that. Now notice in verse 20, it refers here to the service that is actually taking place. And it says, when ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. And there the service, the partaking of the bread and the cup, is referred to as the Lord's Supper. And we use that word sometimes. Now going on to verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. And this after, in the same manner also, he took the cup which he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. And I think we hear that read in about every communion service. It's interesting that in this particular passage, the service is referred to as the Lord's Supper. And it's interesting that as I was growing up, in the church that I grew up in, we referred to this service as the Lord's Supper. I don't recall that I ever heard the word communion used for it. And it was a little bit of an adjustment for me to switch from calling it the Lord's Supper to calling it communion. And I found out that the people in Romania kind of have the same struggle, that they would not use the equivalent of the word communion to refer to the service. They would use Lord's Supper rather than that. And I almost think I should have looked at the Romanian Bible, and I should have also looked at the Spanish Bible to see how it's translated there in chapter 10 when it refers to the communion of the blood of Christ. But as well as I recall in the Romanian, it says the fellowship of the blood of Christ. And it's repeated twice there. And so I think in churches in Romania where English-speaking people have gone and have used the term communion, I think they understand what it's referring to, but it's not common for them because the word was translated fellowship. And we use the word fellowship too, but we use it for way more than this service. We use it for other things too, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. So there were a number of things as I thought about this that in relation to communion, that there are at least four things that communion represents, that the word communion represents. And one of them has to do with the supper that we're about to partake of. And then the three others branch out, and we'll talk about that. First of all, communion is a relationship symbolized in the Lord's Supper, or what we generally call the communion service. And you noticed, of course, in 1 Corinthians 10, 16, and 17, it referred to the communion or the fellowship of the blood of Christ, and also to the communion or the fellowship of the body of Christ. And that relationship is symbolized or pictured with bread and also with what is called the fruit of the vine and what is sometimes called the cup. And we accept grape juice as referring to that, both the cup and also the fruit of the vine. This relationship with Jesus Christ that it symbolizes is also pictured in 1 Corinthians 11, where we also read that he took the cup and he said, this is the New Testament or the New Agreement in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so the focus is on Jesus Christ. And there are many different things that are pictured in this service, the Lord's Supper or communion. Jesus Christ, of course, is the focus of it. We shouldn't be focusing on other things while we are partaking of in considering the communion. The communion, the fellowship is also of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. We remember what he did on the cross and how his body was broken and his blood was shed. In 1 Corinthians 11:27, it refers to the bread and the cup of the Lord. The one who's in charge is Jesus Christ, the Lord of my life. That's something I could think about, should think about, when I think about communion. In Acts 2:42, and speaking of the early church, it speaks of them breaking bread together. And I know some people feel like that, well, that's probably referring also to eating meals together. But it can certainly include the breaking of bread in remembrance of what Jesus Christ did. And then, of course, another thing pictured in this service is the Lord's Supper, that supper that evening. And that supper is referred to in a couple other scriptures, that supper where Jesus broke the bread and took of the cup and said, "This do in remembrance of me." The service is also a memorial service or a service in memory of Jesus Christ. And that's spoken of in 1 Corinthians 11, where we've already read. And we remember that he's broken, we remember his broken body as we break the bread, and we remember his shed blood as we take of the cup. Now, when Jesus handed them the bread and the cup, he said, "This is my body, and this is my blood." Now, what did he mean by that? Well, he was there in front of them. He had not suffered on the cross yet. He had not died. He had not shed his blood. And so it couldn't be referring literally to his blood. He didn't actually cut himself and bleed for them at that spot. But rather, it's symbolic. It's a picture. And he said, you remember me. And it represents my broken body, and which was going to happen very soon. And it represents, the cup represents my shed blood, which would be very soon. They were not actually partaking of his body and blood. And it's representative, it's symbolic, and it's a little bit like the concept of pictures. Pictures of things are represent people, but they aren't the actual people. I tried to get out my driver's license, but it would take a little too long to fumble with it. But if I took out my driver's license and held it up, and if I ask you who that is, you would say, I think I did it in a children's meeting one time. I asked them who that was, and they thought it was too simple. The question was too simple. But finally, somebody said, that's Roger. Well, no, it's not Roger. No, because he's right here. But it's a picture that represents him, right? And I know we often say that. We hold up a picture and say, this is my sister, or this is my grandchild, but that's not technically correct. I mean, we use it. We understand what we mean. That's okay. But technically, it's not my grandchild or my sister or whoever. It's a picture of that person to remember that person by. And that's what the communion service is all about. It's remembering. It's a picture to remember what Jesus did, and also so we won't forget. And that's why we do it twice a year, and some people do it much more often than that, and they say we don't want to forget. And ever how often a person does it, the important thing is to remember what Jesus did. Well, communion is more than a service. That the service is extremely important. We're commanded to do it, and we're being scriptural, biblical, by doing it. But it's more than a service. It's a relationship. First of all, with God, and then with his Son, Jesus Christ. And now what we're doing is we're moving from the actual service this morning to more meanings, deeper, maybe deeper meanings, or meanings that we should think about as we partake in the service. If you turn in your Bibles now to 1 John chapter 3, in that chapter, or it's 1 John chapter 1, in that chapter, this very same word that's translated communion in 1 Corinthians 10 the communion of the blood and the communion of the body of Christ. That word is translated fellowship in 1 John chapter 1. And I think we could justly put the word communion in there, and it would give us the same idea. First of all, 1 John 1, 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now read the word communion in there. It sounds a little funny at first, but think about it a little bit. That ye also may have communion with us, and truly our communion is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And of course, communion, the first part means with, and the second part has to do with joining together with someone. And certainly, if we have fellowship, true Christian fellowship with Jesus Christ and the Father and with other Christians, then we have communion with them, right? Not just the service, but we're joined together with them. Common goals, common purposes in life. In Revelation 3:20, Christ gives an invitation. I believe it's an invitation to communion or fellowship with him. It doesn't use the exact word. But in Revelation 3:20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him." Sup having to do with partaking with him, and he with me. And even though the word sup there is not a translation of communion, the idea is very, very similar. And so he stands at our heart's door and he knocks, and he wants to come in and be in common union, communion, fellowship with us. Communion with God and Jesus Christ is a oneness with God and Jesus Christ. If you turn to Philippians 3, Philippians chapter 3, it talks about that oneness with him. And even though it doesn't use the word communion, it's a very close thought to that. Philippians 3, 8 through 10. "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." The knowledge of him. It has to do with the fellowship and the communion. "For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection," and there is the word fellowship, "and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." And notice that the fellowship there, the communion, same word, that the fellowship refers there to his sufferings. You know, when I partake of the communion this morning, do I think about, have I been willing to partake, to have communion with Christ in his sufferings? Have I suffered anything for Jesus? Have I suffered mockery or ridicule for him? Or have I been ashamed of him? It's something to think about. You see, fellowship is more than the service. But the service represents fellowship, which includes more than just the service. A third thing that communion represents is a relationship with other believers. And some of the verses that we've looked at already have spoken to that, but I didn't mention it at that point because I wanted to make a single point out of this, a relationship with other believers. In 1 Corinthians 10:17, a verse we read earlier, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that bread." Now, when we partake of the communion service, the Lord's Supper here, we think about the bread representing the broken body of Christ, and we think about the cup representing his blood. But do we ever think about, I frankly would have rarely thought about this, but do we ever think about ourselves being the bread? Do you ever think about that? It says, for we, being many, are one bread and one body, and we're all partakers of that one bread, referring to Jesus Christ. And I never quite thought of ourselves, the communion of believers, as bread before. But that seems to be what that passage is saying. Then back in 1 John 1, a couple of verses we read there that referring to fellowship with Jesus, it also talks about fellowship with other believers. 1 John 1, 6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now that's referring to the fellowship or communion with Christ. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship or communion one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the teachings of Jesus Christ and of the Scriptures is the basis of communion, both the service and also what we call the fellowship part of it. We have fellowship with him, but it says we also are to have fellowship one with another. In Philippians 1:5, Paul was thanking the church for their fellowship or their communion with one another, and he said that he thanked them for their fellowship in the gospel. And so we can only find true Christian fellowship in the gospel of Jesus Christ, in being obedient to the gospel, in common union with Christ and with one another, and with the teachings of Jesus Christ. Now, the churches that have open communion and see communion only as a relationship between a person and his God, or a person and Jesus Christ, do need to take these other verses into account. I was in one service where the communion was being served, or Lord's Supper was being served, they might have said, and they invited everybody that was a Christian to participate, and the speaker reminded us that this is symbolizing or picturing our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so if you know deep in your heart that your relationship with Jesus Christ is what it ought to be, then go ahead and take it. That is what you're representing by that. And that's true, in a sense. But yet, in looking at all these other verses that we've already looked at, and maybe a couple more we're going to look at, there's something more involved. There's fellowship with other people, other believers. And then we use the word fellowship sometimes to simply refer to getting together. And we may call that fellowship. And there's probably a sense in which it is fellowship because of a common union. And yet, when we think about fellowship with Jesus Christ, do we think about that our fellowship does need to involve a spiritual aspect, not just talking about the weather or talking about our jobs or about canning or cooking or whatever those things that are needful sometimes, but do we concentrate on keeping the fellowship, the communion, mind you, that we concentrate on keeping that on a spiritual level and thinking about the spiritual reality of it? Have we encouraged one another in the service of Jesus Christ? Have we encouraged one another in the fellowship, the communion with Jesus Christ? Communion is first a relationship with God and his Son, Jesus Christ, and it's also a relationship with other believers. Now, there's a fourth thing that communion represents, and you might want to add to this list. I came up with four, but you might come up with more. Communion also represents a relationship that is demonstrated to other people, both Christians and non-Christians. And so when we have a service like this, it's in the common union of believers. the congregation of believers. And there are some congregations that hold their services at a separate time than on a Sunday morning. They may choose some day of the week and they have the service, and only the members are present, and no one else is present. And I don't think they're necessarily doing wrong, although I think sometimes it's good to have the service in an open way where other people could come to the service. And I've been in communion services where other people were present and expressed great appreciation for the service that they observed. And oftentimes, if others come into the service, it's absolutely the first time they have ever seen feet washing. And it's a beautiful service. And I still remember the first time I ever walked into a service, not knowing that there was going to be communion there and feet washing. I had never seen feet washing before. And so to me, that's one of the most special parts of this service, is the feet washing. Not that the other isn't important, but, and so, you know, it is representative, but it's together as a group. But it goes, this relationship that communion demonstrates goes beyond this building. There's a sense in which when we walk out of this building that we are representing to the rest of the world what communion is all about. And they should be able to see that. 1 Corinthians 11:26, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." And that's a backward look and a forward look. We look back to what Jesus did, and we look forward to his coming again. And we think about both of those when we partake of the bread and the cup. Now, when it says you do show the Lord's death till it comes, that means to proclaim or demonstrate or tell about or maybe even help each other to remember. All those thoughts are kind of in that when it says you do show the Lord's death till he comes. And we're to keep doing it until the Lord Jesus returns. And we're taking that look back and forward. We remember what he did on the cross, and we also look forward to his second coming. Now, we do this each time we observe the communion or the Lord's Supper. And we need to be very careful that this does not become an empty form that has little relationship to the rest of life. And it's easy for something like that to become an empty form. But just because it can become an empty form does not mean that we shouldn't do it. There's one church group I know of that does not observe communion, and neither do they observe baptism. And one of their reasons, or one reason I've heard at least one of them give, is that these things would become empty and meaningless after a while. And certainly they could. But, you know, anything that you do as a Christian could become empty and meaningless. And sadly, it does in many people's lives. But just because it can become empty and meaningless doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. And it's our responsibility to make sure there is meaning there in our lives. Now, so how do we show the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, in the service, of course, we show it by partaking of the bread and partaking of the cup. But is it limited to that? If that's all we ever did, would that be enough? And the answer is no, because we need to share what Jesus did with other people outside of this building, outside of this communion, this fellowship. Unless the truth that's demonstrated in this service and the truth of the fellowship with God shines out in our everyday life, are we really truly showing Christ's death until he comes? Are we really showing it to others? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus' words. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. It's a promise, a positive promise, and also a warning at the same time. And so when we partake of this service this morning, whether we call it communion or whether we call it the Lord's Supper or both, we are confessing Jesus Christ before men, before each other. And that confession needs to go beyond these four walls. And it says, when we confess him, he will confess us before the Father, which is in heaven, when our hearts are right before him. But then whosoever will deny him before men, him will he also deny before the Father, which is in heaven. And so here in this service, we confess him. And for my own self and for all of us, I want to challenge us to confess him before a watching world. Let's kneel together in prayer.